Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 17. Bhavantam api bhuyanme yadi shraddha dadhe vachaha vaishadradi di shraddha Sri Balanam Chameyata. Bhavatam of yourselves. Api also. Bhuyai or Bhuyat. It may be. May of me. Yadi if. Shraddhate, you believe in. Vachaha, the words. Vaisharadi, of the most expert or in relation with the Supreme Lord. The intelligence. Shraddhantaha. Because of firm faith, Stri, women, Balanam, of small boys, Cha, also, Me, of me, Yata, just as. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj continued, my dear friends, if you can place your faith in my words, simply by that faith, you can also understand transcendental knowledge, just like me, although you are small children. Similarly, a woman can also understand transcendental knowledge and know what is spirit and what is matter. Purport. These words of Prahlad Maharaj are very important in regard to knowledge, descending by disciple succession. Even when Prahlad Maharaj was a baby within the womb of his mother, he became fully convinced of the existence of the Supreme Power because of hearing the powerful instructions of Narada and understood how to attain perfection in life by bhakti yoga. These are the most important understandings in spiritual knowledge. Yasya deve pra bhaktir itha deve tata guru tasyaite kahita yadartha Prakashante Mahatmanaha. Under those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Shveta Svatara Upanishad 6.23. Takshi Krishna Namadi Nabraved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayam eva spratidaha. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendent loving service unto him. Bhaktyamam avidananti yavanyashasmitatvataha titomam tatvato gyatva vishite tat anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Bhagavad Gita 18:55. These are the Vedic instructions. One must have full faith in the words of the spiritual master and similar faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the real knowledge of Atma and Paramatma and the distinction between matter and spirit will automatically be revealed. This atma-tattva, or a spiritual knowledge, will be revealed within the core of a devotee's heart because it is having taken shelter of the lotus feet of a Mahajan, such as Prahlad Maharaj. In this verse, the word bhuyat may be understood to mean, let there be. Prahlad Maharaj offers his blessings to his class friends, saying, also become faithful like me. become bona fide Vaishnavas. A devotee of the Lord desires for everyone to take to Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, however, people sometimes do not have staunch faith in the words of the spiritual master who comes by the simple succession, and therefore they are unable to understand transcendental knowledge. Spiritual master must be in the line of authorized disciple succession, like Prahlad Maharaj, receive the knowledge from Narada. If the class friends of Prahlad, the sons of the demons, were to accept the truth through Prahlad, they would certainly also become fully aware of transcendental knowledge. The words Vaisharadidi refers to intelligence concerning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is extremely expert. The Lord has created wonderful universes by His expert knowledge. Unless one is extremely expert, he cannot understand the expert management of the Supreme Expert. One can understand, however, if one is fortunate enough to meet a bona fide spiritual master coming in the disciple succession from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Mother Lakshmi, or the Kumaras. These four sampradayas, or disciple successions, of knowledge and transcendence are called the Brahma Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, and Kumara Sampradaya. Sampradaya vihina ye mantras te nishpala mataha. The knowledge of the Supreme received from such a sampradaya or disciple succession can give one enlightenment. If one does not take to the path of disciple succession, it is not possible for one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one understands the Supreme Lord through devotional service with faith in the disciple succession and advances further, he awakens his natural love for God, and then his success in life is assured. So the text again. Bhavatam api bhuyanme yadi shraddha dite vachaha vaisharadi di shraddha shraddhataha stri balanam chame yataha. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear friends, if you can place your faith in my words, simply by that faith, you can also understand transcendental knowledge, just like me, although you are small children. Similarly, a woman could also understand transcendental knowledge and know what is spirit and what is matter." Here Prahlad Maharaj is emphasizing faith. You must believe. You must believe. So you all believe. I said it so convincingly. You must believe. So what actually is faith? Is faith simply a belief? Is it now I believe? Now I've accepted the Lord in my heart and I believe. I've been saved. Good luck. Been saved from what? I've been saved from being saved. So actually, faith, there's many definitions. One of them is Shraddha Shabde Vishvasakahe Sruduida Nischai Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Kritaha. So faith means Vishvasakahe, firm faith. Sruduida Nischai, simply by discharging devotional service, one can obtain all perfection. So what is that perfection? The actual perfection is prema bhakti, love for Krishna, awareness of and love for Krishna. So the word shraddha can be divided into two words in Sanskrit. One is sad and the other is da. Sad means the heart and da means where we put our attention or we put our heart. So if we put our attention completely on Krishna, then we advance. As much as we put our attention and give our love to Krishna, to that extent, we advance in Krishna consciousness. That's called devotional service. And what's the alternative? Sattva nirupa sarvasha shraddha bhavati bharata shraddhama yo yo purusham yo yatschara sa eva saha. The living entity, according to the modes of material nature he's acquired, has a particular kind of faith. So we're walking around in a bubble of faith. Everyone is in their little bubble of faith, and they believe so many things. And they believe their faith is real. They believe they actually know what's going on, and that their conceptions and perceptions are actual reality. It's not that they're completely devoid of reality, but they think they're seeing everything clearly. And actually, the reality is, as long as we're under the modes of material nature, we're to different degrees asleep. Now, we may think we're awake, but that's one of the symptoms of actually being asleep. When you're dreaming, you don't think, rarely I think people think, I'm dreaming. No, they think they're awake. And when they wake up, they think they're awake, but they're still dreaming. It just, Prabhupada said, we have our daydream and we have our night dream. And for some of us during class, we have our night dream also during the day. So the question is, what is awake? Now, what awake is not just like faith, sentimental faith. A faith is based on reality. Actually, real faith comes when we come to the platform of reality. And right now we have artificial faith under the modes of nature. For instance, artificial faith means that we believe we're this body. Now, there's no class I can give to convince you that you're not your body, or that I'm not my body. Because that's the material, that's the daivi prakriti. Daivi yesha gunamai mama maya dharatya mameva ye prapadente mayam etam tarantite. That this divine energy of mine consists of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. So, by the blessings of Lord Krishna, we're all an illusion. And there's no one has this magic, I don't have the magic wand, I just wave it and everyone's out of illusion. Because the illusion is a gift of the Supreme Personality of God. It's daivi prakriti. It's the illusory energy, but it's divine. So we're walking around in this illusion, and we believe to different extents. Maybe there is a God, maybe there's not a God, maybe I'm God, maybe my mother is God. So many different things. We have so many different conceptions. And it's not that suddenly they're all going to be dissipated by, you know, one class, or we really concentrate on japa that day and suddenly everything becomes clear. Krishna consciousness is a gradual process of getting out of illusion into reality. So that ado, shada, in the beginning we have a little tiny bit of faith. A little faith, enough faith that sadhu sangha, we actually come here. Just like there may be hundreds of devotees in Slovenia, but how many are coming here to class? We may believe, we have a lot of faith, that we believe in Krishna. I even have my card, it says Hare Krishna devotee. But actually, if we have a little bit of faith and we want to develop it, then we need sadhu sangha. And what is that sadhu sangha? It's meant to teach us about bhajana kriya. It's not that sadhu sangha, we get together and we eat prasadam, we talk about how, you know, my kids are in guru, you know, they're in fifth grade. Really? What are they? Finger painting. Wow, far out. No. Actually, the whole idea of sadhu sangha is to inspire us to come to higher and higher levels of at least bhajana kriya, practicing. Chanting our rounds every day, getting up early, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worshipping the deities, etc. That's what sadhu sangha is meant for. Not to hold hands. Oh, your hand is warm. I feel really good. Oh, wow, two hands are warm. I feel the bliss. And what is bhajana kriya? It's divided into anishtita bhajana kriya and nishta bhajana kriya. So anishtita bhajana kriya has different stages. First of all, we have to practice bhajana kriya, and there'll be so many bewilderments, delusions, conceptions. They're all conceptions that we have. One of them is that I'm a great devotee. I'm actually very, very advanced. People just don't realize it. That's why they offend me sometimes. And I get angry simply to purify them. So that's called Utsahamayi, and it goes on to different stages, such as Viyuta Vikalpa, Vishaya Sangara, Vishaya Sangara, war against, next one is Gana Tarala. We believe we're great devotees, but then we notice sometimes I'm chanting my rounds and sometimes I'm chanting something else. Sometimes I'm enthusiastic and sometimes I think, what am I doing here? So many other things to do. So that's called Gana Tarala. And then war against sense gratification. So many desires come to our mind and we fight them. We spend our whole time fighting our desires. We're not engaged in Krishna consciousness. We're mostly engaged in fighting our material desires. And then when we stop, we take a few minutes off to fight our, we're not trying to fight our material desires. Then there's Viyuta Kalkalpa. We're fighting our mental speculations, our material conceptions of things. We've advanced from the sensual platform to the mental platform. And so we think we're quite advanced. Look at all these sense enjoyers, and at least I'm a mental speculator. And then we become a little steady. We decide, I'm not going to speculate anymore enough. I'm just going to listen. I'm just going to become a great devotee in 3 weeks or less. I'm going to really just going to practice, get up early every day, chant my rounds with attention, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And then we come to the platform where we're steady. We're up, we're for the program every day. We're chanting 16 rounds. I got approved. I take a picture on my Facebook fans. My counterbeats are down every day. Everyone's kachai, another day, another victory. So that's called Taranga Rangini, enjoying the small waves. Everyone's, yes. Pure devotee, yes, all right. Can I touch your feet? Well, I don't know if you're qualified or not. Leave a little donation afterwards. So that's called Bhajana Kriya. So we have enough faith, at least we're doing Bhajana Kriya. But if we just stay on that platform, then we're not going to last very long. Because if we're not trying to get free from our offenses, especially chanting the holy names, because there are different initiative, bhajana kriya, or nata nivritti, means that we're actually trying to make some progress. If we don't try and make some progress, we're going to fall down. We're already fallen. There's not much we can fall into. There's a little space we made so we can fall back into it. So unless we try to advance, then we'll fall back into our old habits again. So that means, principally, there are four different kinds of aparads and anarthas. But the main focus, whether it's aparads arising out of pious activities, or anarthas arising out of pious activities or impious activities, or devotional service imperfectly performed, seva aparad, etc. Or it's, just incomplete devotional service, not performed properly. But the whole focus in this age especially is getting free from namaparad. Try to chant with attention. We have to give our attention to Krishna the most direct way, is by chanting Hare Krishna. So we're the whole Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, is to try to help us develop faith that we should take shelter of the holy name. Because it's the most direct way of taking shelter of Krishna. Therefore, the last verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you study 18,000 verses, the last verse is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. At the end of the Bhagavatam, it doesn't say Om Shivaya Namaha. It says Hare Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna through his holy name. But of course, we are trying to take shelter of Krishna, and therefore we have to learn the art of chanting so that we can actually experience Krishna, because faith means experience. When we go from Shraddha to Sadhu Sangha, it's experience. If we come to the association of devotees and they ignore us, and as soon as they look at us, as soon as they see us, they go, ooh. Ooh. It's very unlikely we're going to get much from the association of devotees. The devotees have to be at least appreciative. They have to pay attention to us. They have to give their love to us. Because the whole Krishna consciousness on every stage is paying attention, giving love. So if no one pays any attention to us, no one gives us any love, then why would we want to go here? My dog gives me more love than the devotees do. Maybe he pays me more attention than they do at the temple. So let me go home for my dog. Oh, Fido. Ooh. Someone loves me. Similarly, in Bhajana Kriya, unless we're getting something from it, unless we're getting something from worshiping the deity, unless if every day we come here and we see the same statues, you know, dressed differently, like going to a clothing store and seeing the same mannequin in different dress. And we keep on looking at the dress, we couldn't care less about the mannequin. Think one day maybe I could be on the altar and I can wear that dress. Then we're not getting anything from the deity worship. Therefore, it has to be done with our reverence, regulated, certain ways of washing your hands, chanting certain mantras. So we think, hey, maybe that is God up there. Who knows? Going through all this trouble. You know, there's millions and millions of people for thousands of years worshiping these deities. They're all crazy. They all wanted dolls in their childhood and their mother wouldn't give it to them, so when they grow up, they got big dolls to play with. Or we're just chanting these names, Hare Krishna, you know, because we have nothing else to do. We're brainwashed. We have no brain. Our brains have been washed away. The only thing we can remember is 16 words. Hare Krishna. So we have to keep on repeating them or else there's nothing there. Similarly, Bhagavatam, you know, we read them, whether we read it right side up, upside down, it makes about the same amount of sense to me. But it's better than just chanting Hare Krishna all day. Do something else. No one actually has to get some experience or else it has no meaning. It just becomes dull. It means that we haven't changed our faith. We haven't changed our experience. We already have. Unless we understand we're illusion, that we have to change our conceptions to something better. Unless we understand that there's a possibility of changing our experience to something different, unless we learn the science of doing it, then we just practice and we just stay in the same faith, the same experience, and we wonder what's wrong with the process. We never wonder what's wrong with me. But that's the problem. We never wonder what's wrong with me, and we think this process is wrong. Not our false ego or our illusion that we're under or our offenses we're committing. No, no, it's couldn't be, because I'm a nice person. I couldn't do anything wrong. The only thing wrong is that sometimes they think I'm not a nice person. Sometimes they even have the illusion that maybe I'm doing something wrong. That's the only thing that's wrong. Because I sit in the class and they keep on chastising me, claiming I'm an illusion, because they don't love me, they don't understand me. So that's we have to understand that we have to get experience, and the only way to get experience is to be willing to give up the present experience, be willing to give up our present conceptions. When they say Krishna in his name and I'm different, we think, wow, how is that possible? You know, everyone's chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah, how could God be everywhere? Wouldn't he get confused after some time? Who are you anyhow? Who's this chanting? My name is Prahlad. Oh, really? Oh, thanks. Keep on chanting. You're doing a good job. Because we put Krishna into our little conception, our box of how great God could be and what he can do. And we think, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm not getting experience. Couldn't be true, but I can't say it. I'll be criticized. They'll think, well, what do you mean? You're faithless. You're a rascal. I always saw those two horns coming out of your head. I was wondering where they came from. Why don't you tuck your tail in? No, because our conception is wrong. Because our faith is not developed. Because our experience isn't developed. Because we're not following the process as it actually is. And therefore we have to learn what the process is. And then apply it. And then gradually, by enthusiasm, by steadiness, by understanding, then gradually our experience, by Krishna's mercy, will change. There's no mechanical way of doing it. We're just trying to get Krishna's mercy. But if we don't think we need Krishna's mercy, or what to speak if we don't even believe that Krishna is there, we think, yeah, sometimes he's there, sometimes he appears because I'm so nice, I'm such a great, sometimes he gives me some realization, but then he goes somewhere. Who knows where he went? So, these things have to be understood. So, just as Bhagavad Gita is simply meant to develop our faith. Nectar of devotion is meant to develop, the whole thing is meant to develop our faith. And Prabhupada says, he writes in the purport for 439, this faith is obtained by discharge of devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which cleanses one's heart of all material dirt. Over and above this, one should control the senses. A person who is faithful to Krishna and who controls the senses can easily attain perfection in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness without delay. So senses includes the mind, which means with our intelligence, we engage our minds in thinking about Krishna and our activities in serving Krishna. That's called sense and mind control. But then Krishna says, he doesn't leave us there, everyone should be faithful. He tells us what unfaithful people are like. And we think, well, I'm completely faithful, I couldn't have any of these qualities, it's not possible. But here Krishna says, but ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures go to ruin and perish. For the doubting soul, there's happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So, first thing Prabhupada writes in the purport, out of many standard and authorized, authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the best. So our access to know how to chant, know how to serve, how to do everything, is the scripture. Someone may repeat scripture, but that's what he's doing. Scripture is the basis. Ye shastra vidim usrija. One should know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of Shastra. So Bhagavad Gita is the best. But the lowest class of men have no faith in these scriptures. They think they're exaggerations, they're just, you know, they don't mean anything. They're written by some aborigine in some far-off mountain somewhere so many thousands of years ago. Whatever they may think. So Prabhupada says they're almost like animals. They call us animals, and we call them animals. It's reciprocation. They think we're all crazy, and we think they're animals. That's right. I'd rather be crazy than an animal. So then the next class of faithless persons. So the worst class, they don't believe in the scriptures whatsoever. When you give them a book, as Manodhar Prabhu said, he was distributing books in German, they look at it, and they're trying to figure out, what flavor is it? This is chocolate, by the way. That's the only way they can read it to a book. But the next class of faithless men, even though they have knowledge of the concise passages from the revealed scriptures, they have no faith in them. If you listen to the tapes of Dr. Patel walking with Srila Prabhupada in Bombay, you'll see he knows Bhagavad Gita by heart practically, but he has no faith in the words. It's out of sentiment or something they memorize, or to show how which prowess they have, how good their memory is. So that's another, the next class of faithless person. They have knowledge of, they believe in the revealed scriptures, but they don't believe Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They got everything except for Krishna, the essential part, the whole purpose of the scriptures. They know everything about the scripture except for Krishna. So, such persons, Prabhupada writes, can't have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down. They may believe that they're advanced in scripture, but they'll eventually just fall down into sense gratification because they won't get any higher taste. Even if they rise up to Brahman, they'll fall down again. And Prabhupada said, the worst, therefore we want you to follow the principles of revealed scripture with faith and thereby raise to the platform of knowledge. So faith means that we don't have knowledge. We have theoretical knowledge. We know if we practice in this way or that way, then we can get, Krishna will give us realization of two things, namely our eternal identity and our relationship with Krishna. So that's called knowledge. It's not memorizing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, being recited verses. It's actually experiencing Krishna and our relationship with Krishna and find out who we actually are. That's called knowledge. And whatever everything else is actually going on out there. Only this knowledge will help one be promoted to the transcendental platform. So we should have at least knowledge of finding out how to get realization, at least, and enough faith to follow that knowledge, how to become Krishna conscious. If we have no faith, no interest, then we won't follow it. We have no taste, we have no desire, we're not inquisitive, we don't want to find out, then we won't hear submissively, nor will we render service, and therefore we will never experience anything. Only this knowledge will help one promote to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. One should therefore follow in the footsteps of great acharyas or in the disciples' succession and thereby attain success. So we have to have faith that someone knows something more than I do in transcendental knowledge. Otherwise, we won't follow them. Now, Bhagavad Gita is written by Prabhupada. We have to have faith. We have not blind faith, but we have to have some, at least, as Prabhupada writes. We may not believe that Krishna is God, but at least we have to put aside our doubts and think maybe he's God, maybe he's not God. Let's see what he has to offer. If he's God, then maybe his knowledge, he has something perfect to offer. And if he's not God, then what I'm reading here won't be perfect. Perfect, not in the sense, the material sense, but in the sense that to help me realize who I am, what the speaker is, and everything else, what this world is, what the purpose of life is, and ultimately how to become full of bliss, full of awareness eternally. So set aside the doubts and at least accept theoretically that Krishna might be God, and therefore his words may be true, and therefore let me practice, let me experiment with them, let me try to understand them, put them into practice, and see what the result is. And then if I get some experience, some result, then my faith will grow, and therefore my desire to practice will grow, and until one comes to the perfectional stage, one doesn't need, one's faith spontaneously grows, one's experience in Krishna consciousness grows at every moment. Therefore, one is fixed in Krishna consciousness because one doesn't want to go back to sleep again. Dream of this horrible nightmare, as Krishna says, Ugra Rupa, live in this dream, horrible dream that we're in. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
You mentioned these lowest persons who don't have faith in scriptures. So what should such a person do then? Should he read the scriptures he don't believe and then get the faith, or how does that faith develops? Or What's the step to?
Eat a lot of prasadam. Yeah, you get some taste somewhere. What does it mean you don't believe in scripture? You mean every word I read, I think, no, that's not right. You're not this body. No, that's I am this body. Krishna's God. No, I'm God. What does it mean you don't believe in scripture? You don't believe anything it says? What does it mean I don't believe in scripture? Krishna says, whatever great man does, common men follow in their footsteps. I don't believe that. No one follows anyone. Everyone's independent. They don't do it, you know, everyone. What does it mean that we don't believe it? You don't believe anything it says in the scripture it says?
No, I mean, not me. I'm trying to think.
Well, for most people, they don't even have a scripture. They have something like, they have some scripture, they read it. And unless they read it under someone who has some faith, they can't understand anything that's going on. And if they read with someone with faith, then they may understand something about what's in most of the other scriptures. But our scripture is so simple and clear that if we read it with a little bit of faith and be willing to follow it a little bit, then it becomes progressively clearer. That we're not this body, and that everything has been good. Krishna is the proprietor, Krishna is the enjoyer, and he's the friend of everyone. There is a Krishna, and he's controlling everything, all the time. So, that will be revealed to one who hears this again and again, then practices a little, try to chant with attention, serve the deities with reverence, punctuality, etc. Read the scriptures and try to understand it with intelligence. So if one is willing to apply one's intelligence to the scripture and try to understand things through intelligence, then and then practice it, apply it with one's life, then it'll become clearer. And if one is unwilling to do that, as it says, the three kinds of unfaithful people, those who say, no, it's impossible, I don't want to waste my time reading this book, then forget it. Of course you're not going to understand anything. And those who say, yes, I'm going to memorize everything in the book to show how intelligent I am, but they don't believe anything that's in the book, then they won't get very much experience either. And those who memorize the book and believe, you know, everything it says in the book except that Krishna is God, they won't get very much experience either. So there are different kinds of faithless persons, but one who actually comes to the conclusion that Krishna is God and tries to apply it within his life, then Krishna will reveal himself. Otherwise, how is it possible? Krishna is going to reveal himself to us, and we don't believe him. Krishna pops in, hey, wait a second, get out of here. You're not supposed to be here. Go away. You're spoiling my material life. I didn't ask you to come here and spoil my material life. I asked you to come here and help my material life, not spoil it. Anything else? Yes.
So there is submissive hearing and rendering service. Could you explain a little bit how to balance these two and what happens if we do go too much in either side of them?
We become blind, following, and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. I think the next word is the spiritual master is by nature very kind to the disciple. Let's see if we got the order right here. Yeah, that's right. Bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive, it is always ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So it has to be a balance. We have to get, just like if you're going to eat something, you have to have balance. You just can't eat one food, so you have to know what the different people have a different balance. Some people have to hear more, some people have to do more. But there should be clarity. In other words, one should see if we're actually becoming conscious of Krishna, as it says, bhakti parashanu vyaktiya anyatra trika ekakala Praparamanasyanushtatasus tushti pushti shudapayanugasam. Just like when you eat a meal, with every bite, you should feel elimination of hunger, growing satisfaction, and growing strength. So if we're performing bhakti correctly, then we should feel growing awareness of Krishna, seeing Him, how He's everywhere. We should feel growing love for Krishna and everything in relation to him, with Him. We should feel some detachment from our material conceptions and our material desires. So that has to be judged. So what the balance is, some people hear more, some people hear less. Some people have to do more, some people deal less. But the realization should be there. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.